This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in. Can you feel it? It's almost opening day, one day away from the start of the Major League Baseball season and the start of Royals baseball right here on KFH. We'll have plenty on the Royals coming up over the next couple of hours. We'll get you ready for the Sweet 16 and March Madness. The NFL free agency season is sort of heating back up. A couple of big significant signings yesterday. And of course, the transfer portal is in full effect. We've got a lot to cover today. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on KFH. 97.5 FM, 1240 AM. That's where you're listening to us, and that's where you can call us at 869-1240. You can also leave us your messages. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Facebook, YouTube, X, whatever it is that you use to watch us, we appreciate that as well. And we'll get to your video comments there. You can also leave us voicemails, voice messages on the Odyssey app. We know a lot of you listen to us that way through the podcast or whatever it might be. You can do that easily. Just hit the little microphone and leave us a message. We're here to chat with you. It's we're getting close to what could be the best sports day on the calendar this year, the start of Major League Baseball, the start of the Sweet 16 on a collision course. And here we go. Welcome in. Max Power producing. That's Tommy Caster. Hey, Tommy, good morning.
Man, we are getting close to your point. I mean, 24 hours or so from opening day, Major League Baseball, right into the Sweet 16 games. I think the more that I've thought about it, I think it is probably top three as far as like biggest sporting days of the year. It's probably that. It's probably Super Bowl Sunday. And then, I don't know, opening weekend of NFL probably around there too.
Opening Sunday of the NFL. Or if you want to like get real nerdy, your big like fantasy football draft, any of the like fantasy football draft season, like that, you know, week, right? That's also a really fun time for me.
Yeah. But you get into Major League Baseball and then college basketball all on the same day. It's like those days around Thanksgiving when you've got like conference college football games and you've got the holiday basketball tournaments and you've got NFL. Like that's to me, like this is kind of the same sort of feeling.
but with more on the line as far as basketball to some degree. I mean, we were joking when we were out at the NCAA tournament last week that we would write people, doctor's notes, hooky notes. I might need you to write me one, Tommy. I don't want to work. Now it'll be all right. We'll be at work for it. We'll power through. It's one of the things about opening day. You know, they open it up at 3 o'clock. I don't have a problem with it. You got a better chance for good weather. It won't be so cold. So I understand it. But man, we're ready for opening day, and we'll talk some Royals here over the next couple hours as we continue to prepare for that. Shreyas Lada is going to join us in the next hour. He'll talk to us about the portal. And there's this collision course now. A, what is KU doing in the portal? And then some news we'll get to in just a few minutes from the Shockers' perspective as they lose a key piece in Quincy Ballard. Man, I wonder if KU doesn't have interest in Quincy Ballard, number one. Number two, that is a gut punch for the Shockers. I mean, that is brutal to know that he's planning on coming back to college basketball, but not to Wichita State. Shouldn't surprise us all that much. But he is going to flourish somewhere, I'm pretty sure. And it's not going to be at Charles Koch Arena. And that's disappointing. But we'll get into the implications of that. That was the big portal news yesterday. Otherwise, it's been kind of quiet for the portal players we're watching for Wichita State, K-State, KU. Giannis Bamba also got in. Of course, not a key contributor for the Shockers last year. But, man, here comes the portal season, and there will be a lot of work to do for a lot of teams. So Shreyas Lada is going to help us join us to help us talk about that in the second hour as it pertains to KU. And then some NFL signings yesterday, Tommy, as we take a bird's eye look at everything. Russell Wilson to the Giants. Does that take away, does that take away potential landing spot for Aaron Rodgers? Does that impact the draft and what might happen in the draft? Possibly. We'll discuss. And then Steph Diggs to the Patriots. A little credit to the Patriots here for trying to help Drake May out. Steph Diggs was really, really good last year before he got hurt. So that's an interesting signing there as well. Neither of those are needle moving as it pertains to the Chiefs' chances, but significant.
Yeah, there are a couple of those deals that were done yesterday. I think to answer your questions very quickly, it does eliminate a landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think it's at this point Pittsburgh or bust for Aaron Rodgers, in the NFL next season. And then Steph Diggs going to the Patriots. I mean, I think that, him going to the division rival of the team that he, basically helped put on the map with the Buffalo Bills is interesting. They're definitely trying to find additional weapons for Drake May, trying to build the team around Drake May, having a veteran wide receiver around a guy like May, who they feel like is their franchise quarterback long-term. I think it's a smart move for them. They've been mildly aggressive this offseason, the Patriots have been. I don't know if it's going to be enough to get them back into the playoff hunt this season, but at least they're putting the pieces together, the building blocks together for a foundation for the future for this team.
Yeah, it's it's a good thing for Drake May. Doesn't mean a whole lot. I look at the other one though, Russell Wilson to the Giants. It's not just that Rodgers has only one landing spot potentially. What else are the Steelers going to do now? Russell Wilson's off the table.
Well, yeah, and Justin Fields has been off the table for a minute now.
It makes them as desperate as Aaron Rodgers potentially. Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah, and honestly, I don't blame Russell Wilson, because I feel like there was maybe this, mentality for a minute of, the Steelers maybe hedging a little bit and like, well, we've still got Russell Wilson in our back pocket. If it doesn't work out with Aaron Rodgers, we'll wait Rodgers out. And then Russell Wilson's like, you know what? Sorry, guys. Like, I'm bouncing. I'm out of here.
I don't want to give Russell Wilson that much credit. Like, he just went where somebody was going to pay him. I don't know that it was like he'll have to compete with Jameis Winston for a job there, by the way. I think it probably does tell us the Giants aren't going to take a quarterback.
Well, for sure. They're not going to take a Shador Sanders or a Cam Ward early. Like, they're not going to
chain this.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
If you were going to do that, you'd have just rode out with Jameis. So now they tip their hand a little bit. Does anybody trade up? Is this a position where the Steelers need to like cash it all in and go after one of them? Maybe that's their plan. I don't know, but they don't have a lot of options here. I still think their best option is to go acquire Derek Carr from the Saints. I've always thought that was their best option, but Rodgers is, simpler, and we'll see. It's time to get
what
that
What kind
done.
Of world are we living in when Aaron Rodgers is simpler? Like, he's the simple solution.
He is now.
Yeah. Well, they don't have.
I mean, all you have to do with him is just sign him.
Right.
Right.
If he'll sign. I mean, if he's not in the middle of his darkness retreat, you know, to make a decision or not. Like, that's what makes it not. It's not as easy as just like, here's a contract. Go ahead and sign it. Let's move forward. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Got to let the mushrooms wear off first. Yep. Clear mind. Right. Like, you have to take your time with it in that regard. But we'll have all of that for you today. We'll give away some HTO today as well. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up. When we return, we'll start with Quincy Ballard. That is devastating news for the Shockers. It's not all that unexpected. It's not all that unexpected, but it's devastating nonetheless. And we look at a roster now that has a lot of work to do in a year that will feel pretty desperate, quite frankly, pretty desperate next year for Wichita State and Paul Mills in year three. So we'll start there. The Quincy Ballard news yesterday. It's Sports Daily. We're just getting revved up here on a Wednesday. What day is it? On a Wednesday. And we're coming right back.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for their great sponsorship of this show. Glad to have that sponsorship. Glad to have it as we get ready to go play some golf. I played yesterday out there. Here's how I do it, Tommy. I know you get your 18. I went out and I played 9 yesterday, and it took about, I don't know, hour and 15 minutes, maybe. Hopped out there, played 9 real quick, and continued on with my day. That's pretty nice. That's pretty awesome to be able to just buzz out like that, grab a cart and go.
How'd it go for you?
Not good. Not good. I'm hovering right there in the mid-90s. And I know that the thing that will shave the strokes away is being a better putter. So I need to work on that to some degree. That's one thing you don't want to be in a hurry for. I get it. The other thing is that's a mid-90s with a foot wedge in play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not hitting the balls that are absolute duff shot. So two things I have to fix this year in golf. No more total wasted, like, mishit duff shots, and then be a better putter. You know, keep it to no, you know, only two putts or less, and that'll I think get me where I want to be. So that's what I'm kind of working on.
You know, I had somebody one time, I was complaining about my game. I was talking to a guy that I know that's a really good golfer, and I was just complaining. You know, I'm like, man, I can't do this, and I wish I could do this better. You know, I need to improve in this part of my game. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah, that all sounds really good. How often do you practice? And I was like, well, I mean, I don't. I mean, I just come out and play. He's like, how do you expect to ever get better if you don't practice? And I'm like, you know, that's actually a really good point. And so honestly, like, I started trying to do that more, like, just go spend an hour putting,
yeah,
which is not fun to do necessarily. I'd rather just go play golf. Right. But that kind of changed my mindset.
It does help, and I don't know what to do to get, like, because when I go to the range, I do that, and, like, I'll hit everything, you know, 15 straight balls, clean hits, great hits, and then I get out to the course, and it doesn't it doesn't translate. So we're working on it. We're working through it. Glad I got Crestview to get out there and give it as many holes as I can cram in at a time. But we appreciate that. We got a wine tasting this week with my wife. It'll be interfering with March Madness, but that's okay. They'll have games on the TV, and so it'll be good. Thanks to Crestview. We're going to have cool opportunities, by the way, in the coming months of how you can get out there and play some golf and check it out. So we'll be looking forward to that. That'll be coming. All right, Tommy, let's talk college hoops. Not the Sweet 16 yet, which we will talk about, but about the Shockers losing Quincy Ballard. Is it unexpected that we get the news yesterday he's transferring out, even though we believe he should have another year of eligibility coming? No, it's not surprising, but it's devastating. There was always the chance a guy that stuck it out in the program for a long time through a lot of stuff, through injuries and coaching change and all of these things. Now to go, as you really saw the light bulb go off late in the year last year, that is tough. He will be highly, highly, highly coveted. So it shouldn't surprise you for that reason, but it still sucks because he was going to have to be a building block for you. I mean, it is really Corey Washington or bust now for Wichita State. They have to keep him. They just don't, you know, that depth that they returned a year ago, that retention, it's like all Corey Washington.
Well, it's
now.
Gone.
That's all they've got.
Yeah, it's gone. I mean, obviously with graduations and, you know, players aging out of the program, and then you've got the Quincy Ballard transfer news. I mean, yeah, they've got to maintain Corey Washington in the program. He has yet to make a decision, or he has yet to at least release a decision if he's made one. I would imagine that's coming sooner rather than later would be my guess on that. You know, just because the portal is heating up and a lot of players are either, they've either already made their decision to leave their school or they're knocking on the doorstep of doing that. But to your point about Quincy Ballard, yeah, I mean, he's absolutely a cornerstone of this team, of this program, and had been a guy that you could build on as a reliable piece in that front court, and now you don't have that. And I think it's a combination of things. I think number one, as you mentioned, Washington is going to be highly coveted, not just by your run-of-the-mill college basketball program, but I think high-major elite programs are going to be wanting Quincy Ballard services on their roster.
No question.
And so I think that the allure of that, the pull of that, you know, is probably something that, you know, it's hard to ignore if you're Quincy Ballard and if you're his agents and, you know, if you're the people that are, you know, guiding him, that's hard to resist. And then along with that comes more than likely probably more money. More money than, you know, I'm sure Wichita State can probably give him. That's a guess. That's a speculation. We don't know. I don't know for sure how much money, you know, are in the coffers of the Wichita State NIL versus what he could probably go out there and land with another program. That's just a guess of mine. I don't know. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I think that that was the driving force behind it, because we don't know what the motivation is of this kid. But I think that more than anything, it's the allure of playing for another high major program. It's not the first time that something like that's happened to a Wichita State player, and it won't be the last time.
Well, no, and look, like, there's a lot of opportunity involved either. I don't think anybody can look at Quincy Ballard and challenge his dedication to the program. He is a senior. He might find another year of eligibility, go to use it somewhere, but he gave the Shockers a lot of years. You know, he stuck with them. They stuck with him on, you know, through some injury things. And he had a great year last year.
And he stuck with them in the middle of a coaching change.
That's correct. So nobody should challenge Quincy Ballard's right. dedication to the Shocker program. Great Shocker. One of the great bigs, honestly, of all time. All that being said, don't you feel like there's more production there for Quincy Ballard?
Sure.
And I think that probably has something to do with it as well. You know, for whatever reason, like, I imagine, and we'll ask Rias Lotta, like, I imagine somebody with his athleticism and body type with in the KU offense over the years and seeing like what they've been able to do at that spot with that kind of player. Like, I think there are going to be interesting opportunities out there for Quincy Ballard. And yeah, they're probably going to be financial things out there for Ballard too. We don't know that. That's the hard part.
Yeah, it's a speculation. Like, you know, like you can look at,
well,
you know, right, the NBA, yeah, or the NFL, and you can tell exactly like this player went to do this to go get X amount of dollars. Yeah. That we don't really know that in, you know, in this world. But I mean, along with playing potentially for an elite program nationally, you would think logically there would be a good amount of money coming along with that, maybe more than what Wichita State could pay him.
Sure. And that, and maybe not. I mean, we know the NIL is in a better position than it was 3 or 4 years ago when they basically didn't right. have one. So like that part of, and retention last year reminds you that NIL is in a pretty good place, right? They brought all these guys back. Ballard, I would imagine that Ballard's is more to do with like opportunity to go do something special. If you want to play in the NCAA tournament, if you want to do all of those things, it's going to be less of a stretch if and when he lands somewhere else. So I get it, and it's fine. He's been a great shocker. It sucks though for this program because they needed to build around him next year. They will have to basically replace at best 80% of their starting lineup from a year ago. We were hoping it'd be 60%, right? And now it's 80%. And so that part of it gets really, really difficult to swallow if you're a Shocker fan, because now you're in year three with Paul Mills. Like, this has got to be the year. Eighth place in the American is not going to be good. I don't care who's on the roster. Year three of the program, eighth place in the American is not going to be good enough next year. So there is a lot of added pressure now to go and get it put together quickly. There's that pressure for coaches all across the country. Like, that pressure exists everywhere. It's not unique to Wichita State, right? Like, it's what everybody's dealing with. Unfortunately, the transfer portal still opens too early, even after they moved it back a week. We should not be doing this while the NCAA tournament is being played. I don't care what anybody says. And yeah, there's going to be backroom deals made. There already are. Don't care. Doesn't mean you shouldn't at least try.
At least, like, maybe pretend that we're not doing this at the same time.
We're not going to start this process until the tournament is done. It is so unfair to the teams still playing and the players playing for those teams. Not only the players that might transfer out, they could be tempted while they're trying to focus on this, but that their coaches have to also be paying attention to the portal when they should be only focused on this group. Like, you're forcing the coaches to do that. That's where it's like, come on, guys. Like, what difference does it make if you don't open the portal for another 2 weeks? Right? The conversations being had are being had anyway, but at least maybe it takes some of the pressure off and some people follow the rules. It's just ridiculous. Like, why are we doing this? Like, of all the simple things to do with the transfer portal and the NIL, like all the simple things you can do to make it better, that's the simplest. Stop opening it before the season's done.
It's the same thing with college football. I mean, you've got bowl games going on, you know, and CFP games and all of that at the same time that the transfer portal opens in college football. Like, it just seems to be an easy calendar fix, an easy scheduling fix. Like,
yeah, college football's is their own mess
because make that change.
Like a month and a half, right, to play.
Yeah.
But basketball doesn't wait any. They just keep playing.
Yeah. You know, going back to the Ballard situation, I'm disappointed that he is leaving Wichita State, or at least entering the transfer portal, because I like Quincy Ballard a lot. And you know, because he had been kind of that constant, you know, that foundational cornerstone for this team in the post. Yeah, I'm going to miss him for sure. And he was a really, really good Shocker. I think I read Taylor Eldridge's article yesterday, and I might get this wrong. I think he had the most double-doubles in a season for the team, like going back, I don't know, 13 or 14 years. Like, he had a lot of production on this team and had been for a while. And the dedication and the loyalty that he showed the program, sticking around through the transition from Isaac Brown, you know, to Paul Mills, you know, that doesn't happen a whole lot in college basketball anymore. And so I don't begrudge him for wanting to go and potentially find opportunity elsewhere. And there will be a lot of teams that will for sure want his services, and he should have the pick of the litter. So I don't begrudge him for it, and I'm not surprised by it. I am disappointed. But here's the other thing, and this goes back to something you mentioned a moment ago, and I think it's true. I don't think that there were a lot of points in the season where you, at least offensively, where you felt like the offense ran through Quincy Ballard.
No.
And I think in retrospect, should the offense have ran through Quincy Ballard more? And, you know, when you look at the production that he did, even though he wasn't the key focal point offensively for this team, I don't know. I mean, maybe there needed to be a little bit more opportunity for him in the post. I don't know if it ultimately would have changed anything. I don't know if his decision would have been different at the end of the day, or if he still would have felt that pull to go potentially to another program that, you know, is maybe a little bit more elite than Wichita State is right now. I don't know if it would have changed anything at all. But if it was, you know, a decision about opportunity, maybe there could have been a little bit more opportunity for him in the season, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so, but I don't know that I believe that's his game. So I don't want to say that, because I think people will, and I don't think you're saying this either. I think people will immediately think, oh, that's the coaching staff's fault for not making him a bigger part of the offense. I don't think it's their fault, because they're trying to win games, and I'm not sure that that would have been the best strategy. He needs to still develop as an offensive player. A lot of that work's going to be done now, not while they're actually playing games. So that all, I will be pretty surprised if Ballard doesn't end up in a place that has a history of taking a position that's not as popular as it once was, right? Like a true center. And teaching him a little offense in the offseason to get him ready for next year. He'll always be a defense rebounding first guy. He's a specimen. That's what he does. So I'm not going to say Wichita State should have given him more shots. I'm not sure that I believe that would have been their best path to winning more games. And right now, all Wichita State needs to be doing is trying to win more games, because they finished eighth place in the American last year. That's not good enough. They have to do everything they can to win games. So he could, yes, he could find that opportunity somewhere else. And yes, I think that absolutely is probably the main reason he's leaving. But I don't want people to think like, oh, it's the Shocker's fault for not giving. I don't know that I believe that, because I don't know that that would have been the case last year. You wish it would have been the case going into the year, I suppose. But now they have a roster that's full of a lot of question marks. Again, you hope. They can keep Corey Washington. Barton's got a junior college player, Keandre Kendall, who is, I believe they may have lost yesterday, but was playing in the NJCAA championship tournament up in Hutch. He comes in with a lot of experience.
I think isn't he a top five JUCO player in the country, I believe?
Eldridge lists him. Eldridge does a great job with the roster grid. If you want to go find it, it's on his X. It's real easy to find. Eldridge called him the number 13 JUCO prospect in 2025, but that's fine, right? Like, you're going to need those kinds of players. Then, of course, they have Zion Pipkin and TJ Williams, both top 150-ish recruits. Remember that, because that, and I bring this up to people all the time, top 150 recruits is where Greg Marshall lived in the recent glory days of the Shockers. Like, outside of a handful of guys, Marcus McDuffie, the later guys that all transferred out were a little more highly touted, like Etienne, but then Burton and Eric Stevenson. Those guys were just a little bit higher. But a lot of the bread and butter for the Shockers were that 150 range, outside of like Van Vliet and McDuffie. Like, a lot of their players lived in that range. So that's not a bad range. I always look at that as like, okay, top 150s. Wichita State's had a long history of good players coming.
Marshall, to his credit, developed them extremely well.
Yes, he did.
That's why it worked, because that coaching staff developed. And I'm not saying Paul Mills can't do that.
But we haven't had enough time.
We don't know if he can or not. But that, it wasn't just like, oh, they found diamonds in the rough, you know, in that area, and they picked well. They developed those guys extremely well.
Well, they recruited the right players until the very end, and a lot of those guys toward the end. As you got more, you know, more on paper talented players, he had a whole lot more issues too. We haven't had a chance to see that from Mills yet, because he took in his first year's team and then he kind of brought everybody back. So we don't know how his development of young players is going to go. We're going to find out this offseason, because they're just going to have to use them. It sucks to see guys like Jerome Pierre leave and then go flourish the way he has this year. But yeah, we're going to find that out. This will be the Mills offseason to learn about how he's been developing these young players, for sure, because they don't have as many returners blocking all the minutes to be played. Joy Adovija, he is also back. He's the only one of these guys we're talking about who actually played a little bit this year. And then you've got the young crew coming in, which includes a couple preferred walk-ons, but then you've got a three-star that I don't know anything about in Tyrus Rathen-Mays. Nothing. I don't recall his recruiting. And then Noah Hill is kind of in that top 150 range out of Sunrise. So those are true freshmen, though. So you've got a bunch of true freshmen, a couple underclassmen in Williams and Pipkin, and then three upperclassmen, essentially, in Washington, Joy, and Kendall. That's a pretty clean palette. You can look at it any way you want to. That there's not a lot. And that's if Washington comes back. Boy, we need that announcement.
Well, and look, it depends on if you are an optimistic person or a pessimistic person, if you're a glass half full or glass half empty, because it's either a blank slate and you can, you know, if you're Paul Mills and you're an artist, you can paint your own picture that's and right. whatever. So, like, that's the positive way to look at it. Or it's like, man, the cupboard is pretty bare. And so where do you go and you know, make those moves and make the changes to be able to still do what you need to do next season? It's going to be fascinating. I think that there will be opportunities for good transfer players to come in.
One of our great listeners, viewers, consumers is Rick on YouTube. Sometimes I just want to give Rick a hug, Tommy.
I think he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Or I think he might be grumpy this morning.
Sometimes I want to give Rick a hug. He does not like the way college athletics are now. He says, I doubt Washington stays. You all think this portal is so great, though. Like, you think this portal's so great.
Why don't you marry it? If you think it's so great, why don't you marry the portal?
Rick, we love you, man. Like, it's not that we think the portal is so great. Nobody likes it. It's just the right thing. It's the right thing.
And it's reality. It's not changing. Yeah. So I'm not going to, like, you know, scream at the heavens about it every day. Like, it's the reality in which we have to operate in.
Until you put players under contract, this is like, legally speaking, if you are a free market capitalist, this is the only way. Until they get some things in place to, you know, to properly get we're on our way. We're getting there, right? We're going to get revenue sharing. And this is not going to be, nobody said this would be easier on the universities, but universities have been functioning and operating largely on the backs of major college sports for a very long time. Like, I don't need a lecture from a university until tuition rates don't stop going up, right? Like, I find it very hard, not for the individuals working within it. I have a ton of sympathy, tons, for the individuals working within it and how much harder it is now to do it. What I don't have sympathy for are universities that come out, and I'm not even calling anybody out, but the idea that these poor old universities don't have any more money. Like, guys, like, stop, like, don't, like, let's not talk about that, because we can't even afford to send our kids to college anymore. You know, like, I don't need to have that conversation. So the athletes that have driven the revenue and been very unfairly compensated for years and years and years, basically for eternity, like, them being able to have some freedom, make some money, move around, and put themselves in the best position to succeed while they're still generating all the money for the university is just fine. It's just fine, right? Like, we don't make our law students not be able to switch schools if they don't like the law degree they're getting from some individual university. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
On top of that, we don't beat up coaches for leaving and going to another school whenever they want to. Ben McCollum,
they're under contract. Left so I'll Drake, beat up coaches for that.
Left Drake after a year to take an opportunity to go and coach at Iowa. And there was a That's buyout, right. and obviously that was all taken care of and, you know, whatever. But, like, there's always been a double standard where you've got these coaches that are able to just bounce around, hop around, do whatever they want to do. There's no, like, oh, like, they're not loyal anymore. They don't. It's just like, oh, there's a better opportunity. They can make more money. They can go coach a bigger program. All right, cool. Like, they're moving up in their career. No big deal. Go and do that. It should be the same for the athletes. And it is. We're getting to that point. It's not, to your point, I totally agree with you. It's not where it needs to be, but it's at least steps in the right direction. And I believe that college athletics, it's going to get there. I think the reason why it's taking longer and it's so slow is that the NCAA is being drug along, kicking and screaming throughout all of this. They don't want any of this to happen. And so they're doing their damnedest to try to make sure that like things don't move and like slowing it down throughout the process. That's what's taking so long. And that's why it's not where it needs to be with the guardrails and all of that in place. But I think eventually, you know, push comes to shove, it will get there.
It will get there. It's still going to take time. And all we need to do is what we do with coaches. I mean, it's that simple, right? You put in contracts, and if players break the contracts, they've got buyouts. You want to leave after a year? Great. You can buy it out. You want to get compensated?
Or your school, the school that you're going to, can buy it out. And that, you know, then there becomes a decision.
I don't care who buys it out.
But that's the way it works with coaches. Like the new school buys out the coach's old contract, you know, to be able to have that coach go. Like, and that would make, you know, a decision for the university maybe a little bit more difficult. Like, do we like this guy enough to buy out his contract with his current school as opposed to like, well, it's free game. We can grab whoever we want to. Well, no, now you've got a decision to make about do we actually want to spend money, more money than what we would have to do anyway, to buy out the contract of this player that we really want.
It solves that issue. All you have to do is put in a simple provision that with the exception of a coach leaving, right? With the exception of a coach leaving, then you get, I think everyone would like the players to have the ability to leave when a coach leaves. I don't think anybody can test that. And then the other part of it is, you know, you just, you get together with conferences, you tie it all together that way. And then if there's tampering, which there very clearly is, which is probably the biggest issue of this, now you've got like legal binding documents so you can go sue somebody. You want to call our players while they're under contract for us this year? Great. We'll come after you in a lawsuit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say simplest because that is insanely naive of me. That is not the right adjective. But it is the easiest to comprehend of all of the things, the way to handle this. You put players under contract. If they want to break their contract, there are financial penalties to do it, just like the coaches. And you do it based on conference, I think. Right, I think you do it based on the league. Here's how this particular league's contracts are structured. That's the only way. But as far, you know, like I think the transfer portal is annoying. Like I don't as a fan, I don't like it. I don't think any fans like it. But as a human and as a working professional, like you cannot hold these players hostage like this anymore. And that's why it's why they lose every time in court. Every single time they lose for a reason. And until you get proactive with it, they're just going to keep losing. And they're going to keep losing, and these court battles are going to keep coming. You might as well just get out ahead of it. Like, sit down with all the people in play. Sit down with the leagues. Sit down with the NCAA. You're going to have to get lawmakers involved. And here's how this works. Here's how this system needs to be put in place. We'll change it down the road, but here's how it needs to happen. We can't continue to have this level of tampering. We can't continue to have this level of movement. There is a business interest involved for these universities, but until they bring the players up to relevant players on the business end, they can't treat it that way. They have to continue this novelty that this is still amateurism and all these things. To me, it would be so much simpler if they just didn't treat it as that. Like, it's not amateur anymore. It never was, at least not in the last 50 years, not at the levels of you know, play that we're talking about right now. So treat it as a business. Hey, we've got a major we've got some real big, you know, legal business issues happening with our whatever, with our sports. Like, we got to figure out a way to regulate this a little bit. It doesn't just go, this isn't all player. There are interests of universities that I consider with this stuff too. Like, you put a lot out on the line when you've got boots to the pavement and you're trying to raise funds and you're trying to hire people and you're trying to do all this stuff, and it just walks right out the door scot-free.
And how many fewer players would transfer every year, would enter a transfer portal, if they knew that they may end up being on the hook to have to pay out a contract right? Or like to find a
fewer.
Find a school that would be willing to buy out a contract. Like I may have interest from another university. And they may say, look, I'd really like to have you, but man, your buyout is too high. Like, we're not going to be able, like, you're welcome to come and play here with us, but we're not going to be able to afford to buy you out and get you a new contract. And, you know, at that point, well, maybe I'll just stay at the school that I'm at right now. I'm under contract with them. It's not worth it to me financially to buy out that deal.
Now, if this were to happen, and I think it's the only thing I can think of, there will be schools each year who will be willing to pay it. And you will have a situation where some schools are more equipped. But I'm telling you right now, that already is the case. Certain schools can afford to pay coaching buyouts. Certain schools cannot. Like, there's already that discrepancy. That's always going to be there. I think what you'll like, and the levels that will really suffer would be the, you know, the non-power leagues, or like Drake, or even lower, right? If you go down even lower, those schools aren't going to be able to enforce that level of contract. So they're going to continue to lose their players. It's just part of it, right? They already do. They already do. But what you wouldn't see are all the power, like basically entire rosters enter the transfer portal. If you want to enter the transfer portal and you play in the Big 12, it's going to cost you, right? Like you get to do it if your coach leaves. Some people think there should be one free one. I'm going to tell you right now, I am as pro player as anybody on the planet. If these players are under contract, you don't get any free ones unless a coach leaves. I'm not giving you a free transfer. If I'm putting you under contract and I'm paying you and you're getting a part of the revenue share, no. Now you have my attention when I say you are important to our marketing. We have built your brand. We are like, no, you don't get any free ones. And I am totally fine with that if you're under contract and being compensated.
Well, and think about the way that things have moved from when NIL first started. I mean, it was like literally a way for players to be able to go and, you know, make external money by doing things that used their name, image, and likeness, right? It was marketing deals, endorsement deals that they were going and securing on their own with third parties that were able to compensate them to do that sort of thing. That was kind of the way that it originally, and it was all separate from the university, right? Like, that was made very clear. Like, the guardrails initially were that this was, you know, not affiliated with the university officially. And now we've started to move, you know, towards where, no, it is affiliated with the university. It's under the umbrella of the university, so they can protect it. They can, you know, make sure that, you know, things are being done on the up and up and blah, 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 and all of that. And that's fine. But we've even seen in the last few years, the way that, you know, NIL and compensation has evolved, we're not done evolving. I don't like the transfer portal because it makes it impossible to set expectations for future years. You have no idea. Even like, let's say that Corey Washington doesn't come back for the Shockers next season and they have to replace their entire roster, their entire rotation. They could go out and get great portal players, players that did great at their schools last year. There is absolutely no way to set expectations on what that team will be until we actually watch them play. No way to do it. That's what the transfer portal has done. I don't like it. I don't like that that's where we're at right now for that, in that regard, but it's the right thing to do, at least in moving the needle forward and making sure that players are compensated fairly and appropriately.
Yeah, it's just... There is I'm with like Bill Self. It is going to settle down, but they have to navigate the tricky waters of the legal system. What's legal, what's fair, what's right. Like, you just have to get there, and they will, and they'll figure it out. And you're going to see more power go to the leagues and these than there already is. And whether we're comfortable with that or not, it's the only way this can work. And the thing that we just, like, the other big thing that people just have to understand is it's not going to be the same for football and men's basketball and women's basketball as it is for baseball, as it is for rowing. And those other sports can still operate the way that they have. Right? Like, that we're talking about two totally different dynamics and worlds here. Maybe it's as simple as the money's just less, I don't know. But we can't stop trying to keep the tennis program and the football program on equal playing fields, because they're not on equal playing fields. And they can both coexist, I think, pretty easily. We'll come back. Another hour of Sports Daily coming your way. We got a lot to get to. We'll talk some Royals. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk some March Madness. Keep it here.